you realize that freedom only comes from Jesus Christ. You realize that the borders of our nation are only protected by the hand of a loving God. September 11th, 2001, a demonic force attempted to bring a land of liberty to its knees. I didn't say it was a perfect land. I didn't say it was a land without fault and without error and without sin, but I said a land of liberty. The most liberty in any country that has ever been known on the face of the planet has happened and been here through the land of the United States of America. More missionary endeavors have been funded and purported and put forth through this land than any other land in the history of our planet. And a demonic force attempted to come against the land. And I'm here to tell you, though our liberty bell may be cracked, it's still not destroyed and broken by the hand of a loving Father. Though our American flag may have seen some battles and some bullet holes and some scars, it still flies, hallelujah, by the grace of a loving God. There have been men and women around the earth who have given their lives on our behalf to fight the forces of tyranny, in order to promote the cause of freedom. Right now, we have thousands of soldiers who are fighting on distant shores against a demonic spirit of terrorism, and it is demonic, make no mistake about it. You take a look at what happened in Scotland yesterday. The spirit of fear is not of God. I said, the spirit of fear is not of God. But what is terrorism designed to put forward? A spirit of fear. But God's not given you a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. That's what the Bible says. Who can say amen?
Amen.
But terrorism has a designed purpose to defeat you in your tracks, to get you to not go out on the 4th of July and throw off a few fireworks. Okay, it's a little different than when I was a kid. How many had those sparklers that when you were a little kid? Man, we thought they were pretty cool. And when I was a little kid, my brother and I, middle of the night, 3 o'clock in the morning, we decided in our room we would shoot off our sparklers. And we were having the best time of our life. Actually, it wasn't just in our bedroom. Door was closed, windows closed. We were having the best time of our life. Then we decided, oh, well, we might get hurt. So we climbed into our cupboards and we were doing them in there. And, you know, I told you my story a few weeks ago of eating that chocolate cake when I was 3. Well, I was about the same age. I was a little terrorist in my house. And so we're shooting off these sparklers, going just crazy, laughing, having a good old time. All of a sudden, now you'll hear the other side, all of a sudden I heard my father's voice going, "What's going on in here?" He did it. Or it's hard at that point to say, "Nothing." I learned there was an appropriate place for sparklers. But the fireworks of today are incredible. We'll have a great time watching the fireworks on the 4th of July. Actually, down through the ages, in 1776, the Declaration of Independence was signed, and in 1777, the word went out to shoot off fireworks and volleys and great fireworks everywhere that they could, because this date was to be celebrated throughout history. And while we still have breath, it is very appropriate, Americans, to stand up and celebrate the freedom that we have. It is very appropriate to rejoice. Now, I'm not equating America with Jesus Christ. He is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. The Bible is the word of truth. You're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. I am saying, thank God we get the freedom we had to celebrate it here in this nation. I'm grateful that I'm a Christian first and foremost. But I got to tell you, I'm grateful to be an American. I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. Maybe I ought to write a song. Oh, it's been done. But the country with the cracked liberty bell needs the hand of God in a fresh way. And Americans who celebrate need to remember our heritage in a fresh way. And we need to ask God to heal our land. Now, we sit here this morning on July 1st, 2007. Good, he knows his date. We sit here. Some of you may think, I didn't think he'd get that right. We sit here still with the grace of God. And we need to ask God to intervene in our land. We have a land full of sin, full of going every which way in its own way. And we need to ask God for merciful grace to intervene. And we need to remember the heritage from which we've come. That's what this morning's about. Liberty and freedom begins in the soul. And when we treat it lightly, we are in danger of losing it. This morning, let's cover a little bit of our history, and let's not treat it lightly. Let's look at some scriptures, first of all. Liberty's whose idea? Psalm 119, verse 45. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. You ever understand in your own life, or maybe somebody you watched or observed, so you don't have to admit it was your own life, when you're in sin, you're the most bound? Come on, say amen or oh no. When you're in sin, you're the most bound up. You think, I'm free to go do my own thing. I'm going to sin. I'm going to go do whatever I want. I don't have to worry about God. And you end up in this tyranny of bondage that the enemy wants you in. You stay right there. You fall all of a sudden. The guilt, the shame, the condemnation. You're bound up. Freedom from sin, freedom and liberty comes from Jesus, from His Word, from living His way. Let's go on. Isaiah 61, verse 1. You, of course, will see this in the New Testament as well. Jesus quotes it. Isaiah 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. To proclaim what?
Liberty.
I'm sorry, what was that word?
Liberty.
A liberty is whose idea? To proclaim liberty to the captives. The opening of the prison to those who are bound. Luke 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord, Jesus said, is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty. To proclaim what?
Liberty.
To the captives. Recovery of sight to the blind. To set at liberty those who are oppressed. The tyranny of sin. The oppression of terrorism. Corinthians 3, verse 17. Say this out loud with me, would you please? Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And that accurately is translated in the Greek as, where the Spirit of the Lord is Lord, there is liberty. True freedom comes from being under the hand of God. Who is Lord? What's His name? I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
Jesus.
Preach it. You're all good. Good preachers. His name is Jesus. He's King of Kings. Lord of Lords. He's the only one who sets free. And they all said a big southern amen. Very good. All right. If you're a guest with us this morning and turn to each other and say, they can figure it out later. You can talk to friends later. Does he always do that southern thing? Does he always wear red, white, and blue? But he always does the southern thing. Sorry. Galatians 5. I must have been a frustrated southerner in a different life. Say it southern, would you, y'all? Okay. Galatians 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the what?
Liberty.
In the what?
Liberty.
Turn to each other. Say, be free.
Be free.
Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. Do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Galatians 5, verse 13. For you, brethren, have been called to, you have a calling to what?
Liberty.
To liberty. Now, look at how that liberty is to be used. Just to do whatever I want? To go do my own thing? Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. Through love, serve one another. Liberty. God's idea, God's perspective. Tyranny is a demonic grip over the soul. And if the soul is bound and depraved, then freedom is lost. Pilgrims came to our nation, as you are well aware, seeking a place to worship the Lord. Revisionist history has attempted to remove that perspective from your history books. The truth is, they came as an oppressed people away from a state oppression in England and other countries in order, especially from England, in order to find a place to worship the Lord. To have a freedom of heart and spirit and conscience. In the 1700s, a tyrannical government in England produced and proclaimed and followed through on taxation without representation. You ever remember hearing about that in your history books? It wasn't just so Americans could drink tea without tax. It was an entire way of life. There were taxes on everything. But it wasn't just that. It was lack of appeal opportunity. The colonists had appealed to King George over and over again and to the government in England for release and relief from the kind of oppression and tyranny that was plaguing them from the English. There were despotic ways, despot ways, in which the colonies and the colonists were treated. They were looking for a way to choose a direction of freedom. Most of our early colonists had no desire to break from Britain. But when the freedoms began to be crushed, one after the other, there became a cry up and down the coast, the east coast of our nation. And the cry went like this: no king, but King Jesus. You'll find it in your history. No king, but King Jesus. Say it with me this morning. No king, but King Jesus. What is freedom? Freedom. The quality or state of being free. What is it? The quality or state of being free. Liberation from slavery or restraint or from the power of another. Liberation from the slavery or restraint or the power of another. What is liberty? Freedom from arbitrary or despotic control. Freedom from arbitrary or despotic control. The power of a choice. Do you realize we take that right there for granted every single day in our life? But we make choices all day long. How many are glad you get to live in a country? This is simplistic, I know, but just listen to this. How many are glad you get to live in a country where you get to go to QFC or Central Market or Costco, and there are so many overwhelming decisions to be made, you leave exhausted? How many don't even shop Costco anymore for that very reason? Man, it took me a while. I had a family of five. And, when your kids are growing up and they're teenagers, teenage boys, they eat for an army. And then all of a sudden everybody's gone. I'm still going to Costco. I'm going, wait a minute. Things are dying and decaying on my shelves and getting tossed. And it just took me a little while to figure this out. But so many choices. What kind of car are you going to drive? What kind of clothes are you going to wear this morning? And where are you going to go? And when you get to drive 30 miles, or maybe you want to go to Idaho today, you don't have to produce your passport at the border. And liberties. Where are you going to go to church this morning? And it's not a state-controlled church. Ain't nobody told me what to preach this morning. Except God. All the people said, amen.
Amen.
Thank you for that reinforcement. No state church. Power of choice. Church, let's talk about our history in some measure. I spent hours last night searching and researching and reacquainting with different things that I have no time to go into this morning. But the study of our history is absolutely fascinating and I think very appropriate. Liberty is God's idea. The foundation, the heartbeat, the scriptural understanding of what liberty is comes from the heart of God. Jesus died on a cross to set us free. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Him, but by Jesus. So I understand where true liberty comes from. But I think it not wrong for us to celebrate our earliest days. The Declaration of Independence. It was June 7th of 1776. The Continental Congress had just heard Richard Henry Lee of Virginia read his resolution. And it began, "Resolved that these United Colonies are and of right ought to be free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved." The Lee Resolution was simply an expression of what was taking place throughout the 13 colonies. This had become a marching drumbeat The oppression. I can't take the time to go into the different things. We glibly remember taxation without representation. But the oppression, the lack of appeal rights, people could be taken, and the products from America, if you were shipping them somewhere else or to another colony, England could come, overrun your ship. They could capture you, force you into slavery on board their ship, take all your goods. You had no right to your own destiny and freedom, though it had been promised in an act called the Magna Carta. How many of you ever heard of that? Remember that? Though it had been promised, it was nothing more than lip service. And this was a drumbeat that was beginning to happen. Now, with the Second Continental Congress, which essentially was the government of the United States from 1775 to 1788, they first met in 1775. And King George III had not replied to the petition, for the redress of grievances. So Congress began to take more and more responsibilities of the continental government, of a national government. So it was June of 75 when the Congress established the Continental Army, as well as a national currency. By the end of July that year, it created a post office for the United Colonies. How many are still glad they did? I didn't see a hand go up. Actually, it was essential to our country. It actually still serves a wonderful role. I don't work for the post office. I just wish they'd keep the stamp at the right price. Anyway, all right. We'll go on. I see they didn't have a great deal of popularity for the post office there. Nevertheless, it was what they did. August 75, a royal proclamation declares from England that the king's American subjects were engaged in open and avowed rebellion. Later that year, they passed another act which made all American vessels and cargoes forfeit to the crown. In May of 76, our Congress learned that the king had negotiated treaties with the German states to hire mercenaries to come fight in America. Basically, the colonists learned that the mother country was treating the colonies as a foreign and hostile country. March 1776, a privateering resolution was passed by the colonists to enable them to fit armies and vessels to do and fight back with the enemies of the land. April 6, 1776, American ports were open to commerce with other nations. Basically, we were saying we were no longer a subject vassal state to England. More of the colonists themselves were becoming aware and convinced that independence was inevitable. Thomas Paine's Common Sense pamphlet was written, if you've ever read it, one of the most profound pamphlets for freedom that anyone's ever written, and thousands were sold and distributed on the streets. May 1776, 8 colonies decided they would support independence. On May 15, 1776, the Virginia Convention passed a resolution that the delegates appointed to represent this colony in General Congress should be instructed to propose to that respectable body to declare the United Colonies free and independent states. Therefore, on June 7th, Richard Henry Lee stood up and brought his resolution. There were still some delegates who wanted to tie back into England. They didn't have complete agreement. So on June 11th, consideration of that Lee resolution was postponed by a vote of 7 colonies to 5, and New York abstained. Congress then took a recess for 3 weeks, but the drumbeat and the march kept coming. And the people in the Congress knew that independence was going to be proclaimed. So at that moment, before they recessed, they adopted a committee of 5 to write the articles that would be a declaration of our independence and the reasons why. How many remember who were in the committee of 5? John Adams of Massachusetts, Roger Sherman of Connecticut, Benjamin Franklin of Pennsylvania, Robert Livingston of New York, and Thomas Jefferson of Virginia. Later, Jefferson would write that the other members of the committee unanimously agreed that he should write the draft, and then he submitted it separately to Dr. Franklin and John Adams for corrections. That rough draft, with their few corrections, as well as his own notes of change by the Congress, is housed now at the Library of Congress. It was July 1st of 1776, and Congress then reconvened after the 3 weeks apart. The following day, the Lee Resolution for Independence was adopted by 12 of the 13 colonies. New York did not vote. Interesting. Adams and Franklin made only a few changes before the committee submitted the document. The basic document remained Jefferson's. The process of revision continued through all of July 3rd and into the late morning of July 4th. And then at last, the people heard all around the city what they were hoping to hear. The ringing of church bells began to ring over and over and over throughout Philadelphia, as it was the declaration that indeed the Declaration of Independence had been officially adopted. This nation was birthed in prayer. This nation was maintained in prayer, sustained in prayer, and prayer is what will keep it today. We were involved in a revolutionary war, June 1775, just weeks after the outbreak of fighting at Lexington and Concord. Congress established the Continental Army. They selected George Washington as its commander-in-chief. Listen, a lot of things nowadays come to take away the heroic aspects of some of the many leaders of our country. George Washington, the delegates, it is, if you read some of the stuff about George Washington, it's absolutely fantastic. He had such a commanding presence, and his military experience and political skill made him such an imposing figure that this was stated. He has so much martial dignity in his deportment that you would distinguish George Washington to be a general and a soldier from among 10,000 people. And this went on to say, listen, there is not a king in Europe that would not look like a valet by George Washington's side. I think that's pretty great. At least 1,000 British coalition forces were killed in 2 days of horrific fighting at Saratoga. Nearly 5,000 surrendered, and most were held as prisoners of war until 1783. Outmatched American troops often retreated, but they returned to fight again, frustrating the British efforts over and over again to crush the rebellion. A stunning American victory at Yorktown literally sapped Britain's will to fight. Following the American victory at Saratoga, France openly declared, France, good for France in that day. Come on back, that France. France openly declared its support and recognized American independence. Holland, Spain, and France provided gold, arms, gunpowder, uniforms, medicine, as well as cattle and horses. British operations in the southern part of our country initially were successful. But when British forces attempted to move beyond the coast, their progress was slowed by repeated clashes with Continental troops and local partisan militias. One of my favorite persons in all the Revolutionary War was Francis Marion. Who knows who Francis Marion was? He was the Swamp Fox. I love Swamp Fox. That was my handle. How many remember the CB days? Little side here. CB days. What was your handle? Huh? Scotie. Okay. And what was yours? Okay. And yours? Bisha. Okay. I was Swamp Fox. You were Honeybee. That's right. You're still Honeybee on your license plate. Anyway, those were the fun days, you know. Come back there, Breaker. Yep, 10-4. You know, your pheasant sherry every now and then. You say, no, I'd like you to do this. If you do this, please go, 10-4. I don't think anybody talks like that anymore, but I'm tracking. But Swamp Fox and in the southern part of our nation, they would fight, and all around the colonists would fight from tree to tree, and they would advance then undercover, and some of the colonists had these deadly long range rifled muskets, and they used hit and run tactics and ruthless take no prisoners combat, and they didn't do the close order volleys and bayonet charges of open field linear warfare. You can just hear the redcoats now going, "No fair!" It wasn't fair for the gentlemanly rules of war, but we had a nation at stake, and we had freedom to gather. Though the Americans won few outright victories, they completely frustrated British efforts to control the South. French involvement proved decisive, with a French naval victory at the Chesapeake that led to the surrender of the British Army at Yorktown in 1781. The tide had totally turned, and by 1783, the Treaty of Paris was signed that ended the war and recognized the sovereignty of the United States. The preachers in the colonies Though it may have taken them a while to get on board, many of them would preach all about freedom from tyranny, about having no other king but Jesus, about who really is the one that sets you free, and the destiny to which we had been given by coming to America. Church, 231 years later, our Liberty Bell may be cracked, but our nation is not destroyed. It is the godly thing to do for us to stand for freedom. First and foremost, to preach the Word of God, to preach Jesus, to reach out to our neighbors, to people around the world. And right now, we are engaged in a demonic spirit of terrorism. Make no mistake about it, it is demonic. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And we need to wage spiritual warfare, and victory must be won in the Spirit. We are involved, if you're a guest with us, we are involved in a 40-day time of prayer, fasting as often or however you are able to. And that will culminate with a convention in Nashville on a call to prayer on 7707. And divine number of completion is what 7 represents in the Bible. Bible numerics represent meanings. 3 is a complete number as well, but 5 is grace, 8 is new beginnings, 6 is the number of man. And if you come back next week, we'll pick up on God's prophetic purposes and we'll talk about as it was in the days of Noah. But 7 is the number of completion, divine completion, 7707. Let's see. I don't know that that date will come around again for 100 years. But we're praying that God will release His Spirit again across our nation. I urge you to continue to pray. What's our meaning today? Lives pledged, sacred honors. And I think we ought to hear some of what it was all about. The Declaration of Independence, as it was adopted, spoke this way. In the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitle them. A decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their powers from the consent of the governed. Prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. And accordingly, all experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But then it goes on to declare reasons. And among them, a prince whose character is marked by tyranny to every act which defines a tyrant is unfit to be the ruler of a free people. We must therefore acquiesce in the necessity which denounces our separation and hold them as we hold the rest of mankind, enemies in war, peace in friends, or in peace, friends. We therefore, the representatives of the United States of America in General Congress assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, do and in the name and by the authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies are and of right ought to be free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved. Lives were pledged, sacred honors. People sacrificed their lives. Most of the writers of the Declaration of Independence, as you know your history, ended up broke, destitute, families destroyed because they signed the document. And we sit here this morning as recipients of the freedoms that they helped to provide for us here. Generations of others have spilled their blood on behalf of the wars this nation has fought. I watched a special the other night on D-Day, and watching the heroism of the men and the soldiers who fought our battles. But not just on that theater and every other theater. And we have people still today in harm's way who believe in their cause for a cause of freedom. A terrorist spirit is set to destroy freedoms, and God is all for liberty and freedom. Church, there's a cost to freedom. There's a claim to freedom. There's a call to freedom. What can we do? I urge you, as we embark on a new celebration in a few days, number one, pray. What can we do? We can pray. Pray for the protection of our men and women in uniform. Pray. How many remember seeing the pictures of George Washington kneeling in prayer? And you read the records that that was one of the positions he was most often discovered being in. Kneeling in the snow, praying for his men, for his country. Praying that God would give the victory. Pray for revival to break out. Pray to usher multitudes of people to Jesus. What can you do? You can pray and you can share. I want to urge you over these next few weeks, each of us, do our best. Reach out. Bring a neighbor to church. Call it Bring a Neighbor to Church Month. You're all very quiet. You're trying to turn me into an evangelist? I'm just urging you to share Jesus with anybody and everybody you can. Good job, Mark. Praying for opportunities and then taking the opportunity. Share Jesus with your neighbors. People are all around us who need Jesus, who are dying a lonely death, who don't know anything about the grace and mercy of the love of God and His forgiveness and His mercy. The good news of Jesus is available to this entire region. Bring someone to church with you. What else can you do? Thank God for the freedom that you have. We can be grateful this morning. Anybody grateful this morning? For the freedoms that we have. First for Jesus, then for those who are helping to maintain it. What else can you do? You can celebrate. You can celebrate. You can show that you're not bowed down to a spirit of fear, to a spirit of tyranny, to a spirit of terrorism. You can celebrate. It's a godly thing. Go right ahead and celebrate. Yoo-hoo! If you need lessons in how to do that better than I just did it, come see Cease Hall after church. You can celebrate. Hey, listen, it's a great thing. I'm not just turning 29. We're turning 231, thank God. Younger than you, honey. She didn't even see me say that. But God is good. 231 years. And though our country has been on the brink of disaster and in and out of disaster, we think of December 7, 1941, and we think of the terrible things that happened in Beirut and all around the world. Our country has been in and out of it. And yet by the hand of God, He has stayed this country by His mercy and by His grace. He's given us another day to stand up in freedom to declare His name. He's given us another day to come to church and read the Bible and share the good news of Jesus with somebody else. He's given us another day, though our liberty bell be cracked, it's not destroyed, and the bells of freedom can still ring because God is the author of freedom and liberty. Please say amen, church. Let freedom ring! It's all right to celebrate. It's all right to share it. It's all right to enjoy it. It's all right to enjoy the fireworks. And as we do, stop long enough to say thank you, Jesus, for what you have done, for who you have used to help do it, that we stand here today in the freedom that we have. Church, let freedom ring. Would you stand, please, Elaine? Yes. That's right. Very good, Bill. That's right. If you didn't hear it. Yeah, George Washington was offered a kingship, and he said, we have but one king, King Jesus. Right on. And in fact, when you look into the history, George Washington is the one who first put his hand on the Bible at a swearing-in ceremony. 2 Chronicles 7:14, the verse. And in fact, the church at which Washington was sworn in after 9/11 occurred was the church that was right across the street from the site of the explosions that took place and the devastation that took place. And though it was covered with ash and brush and debris. The church was thrown open, threw open its doors to care for the first responders, fire people and police and feeding and protecting. The same church, St. Paul's Cathedral. What a gracious miracle, and the cross still extended into the air. No king but King Jesus. Very good. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this freedom that we have. Thank you for the nation that you've given us. We know the ship of state is sometimes listing. We know the ship of state is sometimes appearing to be sinking. We know that what has been torn, only you can heal. And Lord Jesus, though the bell be cracked, still we are grateful for a Lady Liberty with a beacon still extended. We thank you, Lord, that throughout most all of those monuments in D.C., though some would not want to declare it now, there are scripture verses all over these monuments. Jesus, once again as a country, we dedicate ourselves to you. Lord, our clarion cry and call is that you would let freedom ring through our nation. Freedom in Christ. Freedom in the Word of God. Freedom to be washed clean by the blood of Jesus. Freedom to declare your word all around the world. We pray for our president today that you would grant him wisdom. The Congress, O God, to have wisdom, to come to their knees and surrender to you, to see your word as truth. And the Lord, get past petty politics to accomplish good for our nation. We pray for the men and women in military all around the world, your protection. Even as we come to this 4th of July, our 231st birthday, God, you would bless again the United States of America. We repent of our sin, and we ask you to have mercy on our land and let freedom ring in Jesus' name.